Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier and happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hi, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I'm really excited for today's episode. The woman who I have on the show today calls herself a maternity lifestyle maven and is quite a star to new moms everywhere. Latham Thomas is the founder of Mama Glow, a destination site for new and expecting moms. She's the author of Mama Glow, a hip guide to a fabulous and abundant pregnancy. She's a doula, a yoga instructor, and a certified health coach. Her credentials are super extensive, you guys, but I asked her here today because in the midst of what appears to be her very busy life, this woman truly walks her talk. She's so fabulous at her own self-care regimen and passing along all her healthy strategies onto her son. And I know she has a ton of wisdom for us, whether we're new moms or seasoned moms. So let's welcome Latham to the show.
So you talk a lot about mothering yourself first, which I love, because when we go into food, I always tell moms that, like, you can't get your kid to eat broccoli if you're not enjoying broccoli. You kind of have to put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
So tell us a few of your tips for this. I think that I read somewhere that you wrote about honoring your inner glow, which I love.
Yeah. So I just call it glow time, you know, like our self-care practice. And it's really, like, for me, it's something I do daily. But I encourage people to fit it in where it makes sense for their lifestyle. And, you know, I just see it as like the things that really bring you joy that you need to incorporate on a regular basis. So it's like recharging the batteries and, sort of like, you know, rebooting yourself, like hitting control alt delete, and then you sort of get this refresh and feel good. And so I think that, I mean, we have several principles that I think, but like, I really believe that you have to find the things that really resonate for you. So for me, I really love massage and I love taking baths and, you know, like going to bed early. And so I think, like, I know I perform best and I'm like my best when I do those things. And so that's like part of my practice and I would say discipline, which, you know, provides a lot of freedom, because if I'm like at 100%, then I could really do a lot more than if I was at like 70%.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, part of making choices that will feed you spiritually, physically, and for your overall well-being is obviously choosing the right foods for your body and also for what it is that you're looking to do, because not all foods are created equal, and even healthy foods are food is medicine. So I think, you know, like obviously eating a really, you know, wonderful meal that's really well balanced is great. But also think about, like, well, what types of foods are you eating and how are you pairing them, and what energetic outcome are you trying to achieve? So if you're looking to try to go to bed soon, you don't want to be eating foods that keep you awake, and vice versa. And so I think, you know, once you get past like the hurdle of, okay, like I'm trying to just eat well, then you can really fine tune and think about, well, like I really want to modulate my mood and, you know, have better energy like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What kind of foods will help me do that? And so then you can kind of really fine tune. So I think the first step though is like choosing the foods that really make you feel most energy, because most moms are probably like dying to have more energy. And also I think part of that too, like if you develop a healthier relationship with food and really get in, like really iron that out for yourself and like your own neuroses around food, then that won't be an issue for your kids. Yeah. And I think that, you know, our kids just mirror what's going on in our own lives. And so they just respond to our stress and our own neuroses. And we actually create that in them. So when we're freaking out about food, they're going to freak out about food. Yeah. And if they don't eat, like, you know, one day because they're like seemingly living off of air, they're not going to die. Like they will just like sometimes only eat a little bit and have a lot of energy, and but they're completely designed differently than we are. And they have all kinds of nutritional stores that are hopefully in place from breastfeeding and even from birth. Hopefully they have like really strong iron stores that can carry them through the first 6 months or 8 months. And then, you know, when you introduce food, you know, in and around a year or whenever you introduce foods, hopefully like, you're at a place where you're also like eating well. And so you can do this with patience and with peace of mind, and also understand that babies too have foods that resonate at certain age brackets based on developmental milestones. Because when we were in nature, there were certain foods that were dangerous. And so we've developed like aversions at certain age brackets to help us protect against certain foods that we shouldn't really be coming in contact with in the wild. And so that's why kids, you know, under the age of two aren't into bitters. They're into sweet though, because that's like breast milk, and that's like a lot of foods that are safe to eat in the wild. And so, you know, bitters are better to introduce, you know, after the age of 3.5 or 4, but you can incorporate them with foods that have like a more sweet flavor, so that they can understand like the depth, and also understand the types of foods that might be part of your cultural tradition or ancestral tradition. And so I think that it's all really a journey and discovery, but it's one that you have to be taking yourself if you want to impart that onto your children. And it's one, I think, especially, you know, during pregnancy, that's so amazing, is that you can find that there's so many foods that you may not love while you're pregnant, and then you may love again after. But I guess like the cool thing is that it's like you can just experiment with your body and see what works, and things will work for a period of time and then they won't work again. And that's really like how you'll see with your toddler. Like something might work, they might love something, and then they might not want it for like 6 months, and it's okay. So, you know, like fickleness is just really like about growth and us learning as we go. But I think, again, like diet is really key, but it's not like in a vacuum. Like you have to, you know, you have to love what you're eating, because even if you're eating well, but you're stressing yourself over calories and this and that, that's not eating, that's metrics, you know? So it has to be enjoyable, and it has to be about, connecting to food that really like nourishes you from within. And I think that attitude will also carry to how your children enjoy food when they're here, or if they're already here.
Yeah, I love that. Well, there's so many great nuggets of what you just said. First of all, that kids don't get hungry, because I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as parents is that when our child doesn't eat, you know, what we've put in front of them, we're like, okay, so then we must have to add toast or Cheerios or, you know, like something that's not going to serve them, but that kids don't have, you know, you don't always have to fill people.
Right.
So I love that. And then the other thing, so I just love all that. And I love that a lot of times I get asked that, don't I feel like I'm depriving myself, because I don't eat gluten and dairy, which is something that I figured out when I was on this whole path, you know, path of getting to wellness myself. And I healed myself of all these illnesses that I had that I didn't even know I had. And, but I never feel deprived, because I feel like I'm feeding my, like, I feel so well that I don't think about those things that I'm not having. So I love that idea that it's just a journey and a path, and that we have this food that actually serves as our medicine. It's just such a great, you know, and make it a game. It can be fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm so grateful that you took the time to be on the call today, because you yourself are battling a little bit of a cold and have a super busy day. So what are the things that you'll eat today that will help you stay top of your game in this super busy time?
Yeah, well, I started with some colloidal silver, which is like a bioactive silver for immune support.
Yeah.
I have, you know, like hot water, lemon and ginger that I'll do, and a little oil of oregano. I've been on like so many planes in the last few days, and just went from 87 degrees to like 2 degrees to like, you know, 50 degrees now. And so it's like, you know, I feel it coming on, so I'm just like nipping it in the bud, because I have a very busy I'm nonstop until a week from now.
Yep.
And so so for me, it's just like, you know, canceling the morning and then just only doing the things that like I really can't move because like they've been on the calendar for months, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then just taking it slow. And I listen to that. And so, you know, going to bed early, maybe like missing a little bit of the Oscars or whatever, but like going to bed and then taking a little time to just be slow going to bed tonight. So for me, it's like, you know, like there's the physical food, you know, obviously, but then for me, it's really more like the things that I don't do, you know, that make a difference, you know, so like really just like not loading up. And, you know, I don't believe in like, there's sort of like a pressure to just like go, go, go and hustle, hustle and produce and produce. I just don't operate my life like that. I know it probably looks like there's a lot of stuff happening, and there is, but I don't, force myself to do so much in a day. So there's always space, right?
Right.
So if I need to have lunch, I'm not going to sit at my computer and have lunch. I'm going to have lunch. Right. And so, So I design it like that, where there's space. So today there's like space so that I can take some time and get in the bath and, you know, have a really good breakfast. And then in the evening, I'll have dinner with my son, I'll pack, and then I'll be out in the morning after I drop him to school. So there's like, you know, for me, it's like, I just have to make sure there's punctuation for me.
Yep.
So and the only way that I will get like fully come down with something is if I don't like slow down like that and listen. And so I feel like the body does give you almost like a little bit of a warning, like, hey girl, like, you know, I'm about to like shut everything down. So if you want to just like slow down and let me catch up, then I'll be fine. But if you don't, I'm gonna shut everything down. And so I just feel like I'm in that window of like, okay, cool. Let me heed the, you know, warning. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be fine. I'll wake up tomorrow totally fine. I never really actually come down with stuff. It's always like, it's like the little hints and I'm like, okay, good. And then I'll, you know, then I'll be like, okay, let me shut everything down myself and then I'll be fine. And so I think too, for us moms, it's so important to like really connect with our bodies and listen to the wisdom. Like, so even, you know, in your cycle, you know, when you're bleeding, like slow down, you know, if you feel like a sniffle, come on, slow down. Like all of that is just information about, you know, the body needing more energy, through our foods and through our self-care practice, but also, less to do, you know, because if you look at animals or little kids, even when they get sick, they don't start running around. They go in a corner or they'll sleep or whatever, but they're like not doing stuff. And like, we're just like, oh my God, I'm sniffling. Let me get through these emails, or I have the flu. Let me go run all these errands. It's like a really optimal time to just take care of yourself. And it's a reminder that like, you're also human, and we need time to, recharge. And so, for me, it's always like, I mean, I don't like, you know, feeling like that, like on the verge or whatever, but it's also a good reminder that, you know, your health is like all that you have. And so if you get sick, you cannot serve, like you can't serve your family, you can't do your work in the world. So, so it is good to have like these moments of respite that you take for yourself, your glow time. And it's really good to make sure that you know, most of the time, like, you're really fortifying yourself through your diet and through exercise so that you can maintain well-being. So
I love that. And so one of my big things that I, you know, of course I travel, so there's times when I'm not here, but when I am here, the thing that I hold space for every day is dinner with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just my thing. Like that when I do that, I feel awesome. Like, I've checked in, like, I'm connected. So, and it sounded like you, that's something you were holding space for today. Is that an important part of your world?
Yes, we cook like every night. And so, you know, in the mornings, it'll be variable. Like, you know, sometimes I'll make the breakfast or he'll make his breakfast. But in the evening, like, we just cook together. And if he's doing homework, because now seventh grade, there's a lot more homework. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, he'll be doing the homework and then I'll be cooking, but I can see him. He'll do it in the kitchen and we'll talk. And so for me, that's important for us to do together every night. And, you know, and there's like times where we don't, which is like when he's with his father, he'll have dinner with his dad and his grandfather, and then he'll come home. And so, you know, but he still is having dinner like with family. Like, yeah. we don't play that lightly, because I think there's so many things you miss, you know, with kids as they grow. It's like when they're having mealtime, they talk, they like unload, they share. And you're not distracted with, you know, what's going on, you know, at work, or if you have emails to catch up. Like, that's a time where like everything could be off, you know. Like, for us, it's like nothing's on when we're doing that except for like our attention on each other.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, you know, we like as a nation, we have to come back to that. Like, you know, even people who don't have the time to cook, you know, like, if that's like, you know, something that you need to work on, like this year, really commit to like finding ways to like simplify, you know, your meal planning, and then involve everyone in the house. You know, like, if you get in late and it's like something that you can't do and you're like doing processed food or whatever, like, there's, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can prep your food, like on days that you have, you know, like maybe a Sunday. Okay. Exactly. And prepare for the week, and then have the kids come into the kitchen and help with prepping. If you hate cutting up vegetables or whatever, make them do that, or, you know, do some things to where like it actually becomes a priority, because it will change your life and it'll also change your relationship with your kids. And it'll make everyone, and you don't realize, I don't think, you know, people who I know who just don't have that, I think like that is a key to like keeping the family together, is gathering in that way, because it's really the only time that you have. Like, everybody's in school or working or whatever. Like, you're not in front of each other long enough, except for at that time, you know, or on the weekends. So, I think it's critical. So I agree with you. Like, to me, it's like a non-negotiable, like, we have to sit down and just eat together. Plus, like, we know what's going in our kids' mouths when we're cooking food, you know?
Exactly. And it's a magical time of day too. A lot of times people say, well, I'm so busy. Like, what if I just do the weekends? There's just something though about that time, like after a busy day, before sleep, you know, it's just like I hear things during that time that I don't hear at other points in the day, even if I'm with my kids.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. It's just a safe space. So I love it. And it gets them eating amazing.
Exactly.
So it's all good. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I want you to, I have one more question for you, but I also want you to tell everybody where to find you and what the best way to connect with you is. So,
sure. Well, I'm at mamaglow.com. It's mamaglow.com. And there's tons of fun resources there. We'll be doing a really fun interview on you soon. but yeah, come there and come play.
All right. And so this is the final question that I ask everyone. So as you've gathered, the family meal is just in a really, I just think so much research backs of what an important part it plays in our life. So my final question to everyone is, one meal in your life that has really stood out. It could be that it happened when you were five or last week, and either about the food or the company or just a major aha you had while sitting at the table. Do you have such a moment in the back of your head?
An aha?
Well, just something that happened during a meal. Some like oh. something that you loved about a specific meal, just an important meal to you.
You know, I feel like every time that I sit, you know, I guess I should say this. What amazes me is that every time that I sit with friends or family, that I learn something new. And you kind of alluded to this, like with the kids, but it's like there's something that happens when you just when you sit with other people, and a lot of like ideas come. Yeah. A lot of our, I would say, programs or like really amazing event series and stuff came out of dinners, you know. So I just feel like there's just a lot of magic that happens around the dinner table. I can't say specifically one thing, but I would say for me, that's like, you know, stirring the pot, you know, gives me space to also go into my imagination and also conjure any new ideas for things that I, and I end up writing stuff down, which is why I always have a notebook in the kitchen.
I love that.
But so that's like one of my meditative moments for sure. And in the shower, but like, so stirring something. So I love things that take long to cook and that, that need to be paid attention to. So not like, I love food that's fast too, obviously. Like I love making stuff that's like in 20 minutes and everybody's happy. And, but I also love stuff that I know, you know, like a tomato sauce is like 8 hours, you know? So I love a really good tomato sauce that I have to keep stirring and keep getting up, or, you know, like a porridge or something that I have to stand over so that the pot doesn't burn, you know, or a soup or something that I have to just keep stirring. Because when I'm doing that, I also, daydream and things come up that are like really powerful for me. So I think that that's also part of what I love about it, because it's like a conscious act of meditation and of slowing down and of paying attention. Because when you, as soon as you don't pay attention to whatever you're doing in the kitchen, stuff burns, or it, you know, like you mess something up, and so you have to stay present when you're in the kitchen. And I, that's what I really love. I think about one aspect that I really love about food, and then once it's done, like, I just love seeing everybody smiling and, you know, while they're eating and like talking. And, you know, I, sometimes like I won't even sit down. I'll just like watch. Like I had my family over one night and they were all from out of town and I made all this food. And I remember just standing to watch. Mm. And that was like, that gave me joy. I wasn't even hungry because I was, you know, it's like, I get so much from making it. So sometimes like by the time after tasting everything, like you're just not hungry, but I was so full off of watching them and listening to them. And so for me, I think it's those things, like those little things that come and you don't get that and you get totally gypped of it if you don't make food, you know, if you don't actually get in your kitchen, which like we should all like really have some wear and tear on our stove and like really get into your kitchen, start like everybody can cook. Like you don't have to be, you know, don't get daunted by cookbooks. That's another thing. Cookbooks are like the, you know, like super purchased, like they're the most purchased, the least used.
That's so true.
Because they're too beautiful. And so I think like instead of using a cookbook as your guide, like look for it for inspiration and maybe even like, you know, go online and, you know, pull tear sheets of stuff that sounds interesting to you and don't look at the instructions or the directions. Just like if you learn to make a couple basic things, just kind of like wing it and see, and don't try to make everything look like what you see in magazines or in books, but like have fun, because if you can mess something up once, then it's like, okay, you get that out the way, then you're not nervous anymore and you can continue to try new things. One thing I always ask people to do too, is if you're not really adept in the kitchen, it's something that you have a little nervousness about, is invite people over who are like pros.
Yeah.
So have people over. So if Sunday's your one day, that you can actually prep food. Like, you can have a brunch at your house, or like, not even a brunch, but like, you know, like a little kind of just like, you know, light food over your house. And that could be even food that you order if you want. But then have people come over who are pros, buy all this food, and just be like, you know what? I love such and such dish that you make. Can you help me make it? I bought all the ingredients. And then like watch and learn and talk and just get to understand through process rather than through like underlining and like measuring out and then counting, because there's a lot of stuff in food that's not gonna, that you're not gonna taste by just measuring everything out. Like part of it is just you putting yourself into it, you being in love while you're doing it. And you got to be around people who have that same joy when they cook so that you can kind of understand like how you can bring that to your cooking. So I think find a, like almost like a cooking buddy or like a little kitchen mentor to come through and help you, and also get your kids in the kitchen at that time so that they can learn something. Because my mom was really great in the kitchen, and my grandmother was too. And I learned by sitting on the kitchen counter and like, and listening to their discussions and watching them cook. And finally one day my mom let me cook, and then, but I had watched for so many years. Right. And so I think like, you know, telling the kids to get out the kitchen, which everybody does, yeah, is like one thing that also deters them, but it keeps them from learning. And it also creates this weird dynamic where like, it's an adult space that they're not invited into. So have them there to watch and learn, and give them chores, because kids will eat anything that they've taken part of, you know, in preparing. And if they also grow it, even better. If you have a backyard, like have them learn to grow something and watch the life cycle, and then, you know, harvest it and prepare it. Your kids will be, they will love vegetables.
Yeah, so true. Oh my gosh, you guys, everyone listening, this is amazing wisdom. So next time we're at the grocery store and we see 10-minute meals, you have to remember Latham's 8-hour tomato sauce. Yeah, it's really about the joy.
You can make a 10-minute one too.
I know. but it's so true. It's so about just the joy that you can have in the kitchen. And it, you don't even have to know how to cook 1,000 things. You really only need to know how to cook 10 things. And then you right. just switch them up and have fun making them, and love it.
Yeah.
Love everything you've shared. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And Busy Mamas, a lot of all the, these great resources will be in the show notes. And we will see you on the next episode of Plan Simple Meals.
Wow. Thank you, love.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.